All right, I want to start out with just a little snippet out of Luke 1, 28 through 30. I'm going to read the underline, and you're going to read the non-underline. Rejoice highly, favored one.
The Lord is with you.
Blessed are you among women.
Okay.
She was troubled at his saying.
What manner of greeting this was.
Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." All right. Okay. Now listen to me. If you're new here and you want a perfect church, there's a church about 2 miles away, pretty big one. You can go down there. Okay. Because I goof up a lot. Okay. Yeah. That's how I got my doctorate. I did it all and goof it up, you know. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I have a problem, and I've got to confess to you today, okay, about this problem. That occurs during Christmas season. And it's those Christmas presents under this tree that kind of make me stumble, right? You know the ones I'm talking about, the nicely wrapped gifts in boxes, all shapes and sizes. But my biggest problem are the ones I put under the tree, because I can't wait. And I give them to others, and now I'm a grandfather, I'm Papa, and so Papa, I get involved in buying their gifts as well, and what Debbie makes, and all that kind of thing. It's a wild time up to Christmas for all of us, isn't it? It's just crazy. And so I have to wait till Wednesday morning, till Christmas Day, and maybe you have the same problem too, because it's so much more fun to give than it is to receive. I mean, receiving is fine, but to be able to give and try to get it accurate. But especially for me, for Debbie's gifts, because Debbie gets her Christmas gift, but she was born on the 25th of December, so I have to buy her a birthday present as well as a Christmas present, try to separate those two so it's one and the other. And so I always think to myself, did I get her hints right? Because she'll look at something and say, oh, yeah, I'd like to get this and I'd like to get that. And so I think, okay, so I'm moving along here. I think I might have the right gifts, but I don't know, you know. So many times I've just taken the gift and put the receipt wrapped up in the package because you never know. She's a hard one to buy. She's not here, so I can say all this, you know. Next one, I won't say all these things, okay. She's a hard one to buy for because she gets what she needs. And so, did I get the hints right? And is it what she really wants? And so I have to wait till Christmas morning and kind of examine her face and read her affect to see, does she really like the gift or doesn't she really like the gift? And finally, the day comes, and I get to hand out in our house, since I seem to be the oldest, okay, I hand out all the gifts, you know, and to the family members, and so I get to see their reactions when they opened up, and they want me to pour them out, right? So then that makes it hard, because the kids don't know who gave them what, and it gets a little confusing, so I try to hold back and get them to do it one at a time so we can see. But that also with 14 grandkids and 4 kids and Debbie and I, that could take a full morning just doing that. Okay. And just a little, while I'm doing it, I love to tease the kids, you know, maybe a hint or two. And I might, sometimes I sing, I know something you don't know, you know, get them all stirred up and going. And pretty soon Debbie is saying, stop it, Steve, stop it. You know, I'm giving them too many hints or whatever. And finally, I get to give the gifts to Debbie. And I keep thinking, how is she going to react? What is going to be the look on her face? And as I thought about that, I thought about the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel had a similar situation to me. He was given the responsibility by God to give a gift to Mary and watch her reaction. And, you know, we can say we think we understand out of the Bible, but we don't know what was on Mary's face when Gabriel talked to her. And so he's telling her about how she's going to get pregnant and have a baby and not doesn't know a man. Now, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? And we think that Mary is somewhere between 14 and 16 years old, really young. And so I'm sure that Gabriel's looking at her thinking, is she okay with this gift, the birthing of the Savior, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us? Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. Think about whether you would be Joseph or Mary in this situation, and you're going to birth Jesus Christ. Gosh, Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to change the world. Yeah, pretty overwhelming gift, right? And she has never been with a man. She's and she even says something about that too. But she's engaged to Joseph, and he's a man who is a direct lineage of King David. And I think to myself, what would cross her mind? And I thought, well, maybe she went to the scripture, the announcement 700 to 800 years before, where God is dealing with King Ahaz. Now, King Ahaz was the worst king of Israel ever. He never obeyed God. He was against God. And the prophets would come, and he hated the prophets. And when and so I love this, because God, through Isaiah, is talking to Ahaz. And, of course, Ahaz is not cooperating. So God gives him an ultimate slam against his unrighteousness. And he says, therefore, because of what Ahaz was saying, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, why was that an ultimate slam? Because Christ was going to save the world and away from Ahaz and his unrighteousness. So Mary knew a virgin would give birth to the promised Messiah, but it's like, but me? Right? Talk about making Christmas interesting. I want to look at a conversation between Mary and Gabriel in Luke 1, 26 to 38. It's going to be right there. Now, in the sixth month, and we find out later in this passage, 6 months that Elizabeth, and I'll explain that in a few minutes, Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's her relative. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, meaning engaged, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, it said that she kind of didn't know what she says here. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting is this. It's like, am I being manipulated? Right? Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And by the way, Jesus means Savior, okay? "He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, stop for a second, okay? Forget Christmas, forget everything. You're Mary. He's saying all these things to you. What would you think? Man, I looked at that and I thought, man, that's crazy. And so he continues, "Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative has also conceived a son in her age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. Now that ends up being John the Baptist, right? I think most of us know that. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you hear that verse? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, was a priest. He was a Levite. And he's very elderly, so is Elizabeth. But that particular Sabbath, he went into the temple. And typically, when they had to go into Holy Holies, they tied a rope around the ankle of the priest, okay? And he'd walk in, and they would hold on to that rope while he walked into the holies and holies, because if he did something wrong and God killed him, they would take the rope and pull his body back out. Isn't that incredible? And so he goes into the Holy Holies, and guess who appears to him? Gabriel, okay? And so this is what he says to Zechariah. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. He didn't. Now, okay, you're in the Holy of Holies, in the most sacred place on earth. You're standing there. Gabriel the angel appears in light and tells you something, and you don't believe it. Well, he deserved to be mute, didn't he? And it comes back to that verse, for with God nothing will be impossible. I want to scoot over to Genesis chapter 18 with Abraham and Sarah. Starts out with the passage that Abraham sees God. And there's three men that come, three angels. One of them is the Son of God, the other two are angels. And let me just start in with verse 9. Then they, the men, the angels, said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he, God, said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. How old? 90. She was 90. He was 100. A little past menopause, right? Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed in herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh, saying, I shall surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return. I will restore, is the word, to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. And so when Isaac was born, they named him Isaac. And what do you think Isaac's name means? Laughter. Laughter. And so Sarah doubted. Zechariah doubted. And that's why they named their son. So Gabriel announced to Mary. And I'm sure Mary's mind went to Elizabeth, first of all, when Gabriel talked about it, and then her mind went to Sarah. Both of them being too old, and yet it was going to happen. The impossible was going to happen. But the uniqueness of being pregnant without a man, now that's crazy. Now, she had a good reason to doubt, but Gabriel said, as he did to the others, for with God nothing will be impossible. But Mary didn't laugh, nor did she deny. She did not doubt, but believed. Instead, she immediately gave herself over for a sacrifice to submit and obey this angel. And can you imagine what that would have been like? Because she had to know within her culture that people would be saying, you couldn't wait till you get married. You had to get together with Joseph and you did it before the wedding day. And she'd get shunned and gossiped about by her friends and relatives. No one would ever understand till Mary's last breath. But listen to Mary's response and let this burn into your heart. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow. No laugh, no denial, simply submission to what the angel said. Let it be to me according to your word. So Gabriel had been assigned a job of giving Mary the first Christmas present, so to speak. And then telling her fiancé, Joseph, what they were getting for Christmas, and he obeyed. Now, I know it wasn't called Christmas yet, but Jesus was the Christ, Christ Mass. The first Christmas present for them, and really for us, huh? When Gabriel told Mary that Jesus will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and that she would give birth to him, he was describing the contents of a present that the Father in heaven was given to Mary. It's not the nativity scene that we would expect for the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, but then is Jesus going to be like us? It was dirty. It was dreary. And it smelled like animals. It wasn't clean at all. Not very appropriate for a Prince of Peace. You know, several times I've tricked Debbie with wrapping box within box within box because she's such a good guesser. But inside the first Christmas present was a precious gift, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world. It was a sinless gift given for the sinful. It was a clean gift in a dirty world. And then came more Christmas presents to him. The gift of the Magi, the three kings, the whoever they are. The Bible never really says, just three came. I think they were probably scholars from Babylon that had learned under some of the Jewish. They might have been three rabbis. We don't know, but they were rich. We do know that. We don't know if they took a collection or just did it. Instead of it being a gift about a Savior, it was a gift to the Savior. Inside were these expensive gifts for the king. Gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and we've heard that in songs. We know that from it being written. And God miraculously provided these men to travel a great distance, that's what the Bible says, possibly from Babylon, learning under Daniel's teachings about the coming Messiah. But they seem to know their Old Testament well. They arrived to offer their gifts with a star in their path. And when they finally found Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped him, and they gave him these gifts. And gold was always a fitting gift for a king. And there was a group out of Australia that researched, a guy hired like 15 historians, and they researched to figure out how much gold that would be given to Jesus. And the only thing they could come up with was when you give gold to a king, it would make him independently wealthy. And so one point, I want to just read this from 1 Kings 9:14. When Solomon became king, King Hiram, which was to the north of him, sent 120 talents of gold. Now, we've read those kind of things, 120 talents of gold. Only $2 million worth of gold. The second gift, frankincense, the gift of a priest. It was used in the temple when sacrifices were offered. And the third one was myrrh. Jesus had to be the ultimate sacrifice, as Isaiah 53 said. And I just want to read this. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He's born to die. Myrrh was a gift to someone who would die. When they buried him, they put spices all around his body as they wrapped it up, and part of that was myrrh. And just like Mary's gift, Jesus would give us a gift, the garden tomb. It is the primary Christmas gift for us. The best gift of all is that empty tomb. It's more precious than gold, incense, and myrrh. And the garden tomb changed history. Satan was defeated. Sin was paid for. True life was born. Christmas and the cross go together. We can't have one without the other. Amen? And so I love the words that Gabriel says to Mary. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And at that point, they had no idea what that meant. No idea. He was describing the contents of the greatest Christmas present ever. And you can't squeeze it, you can't shake it, you can't peel the paper back and look, for you little nasty people. It's not necessary to try to remove the paper little by little. But it's necessary to open our gift if you haven't. For some of you this morning, the gift waiting for you is a deeper relationship with God. If you know Him already and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, there's a gift that you may not have received with that, and that's to offer yourself a sacrifice, just like Mary did. That gift is yourself. He gave himself utterly and completely for you. And now he waits for you, Christian. And if you've already surrendered your life to him, then you have the best Christmas ever. Because we don't doubt, we don't fear, we don't have to listen to the voices in the world. Amen? You don't have to listen to it. We know what the truth is. So this Christmas, will you think about wrapping yourself up, no matter what the wrapping paper is, or no matter what it looks like, it's not going to look like the manger, and give yourself to Him as a present. And for you who don't know the Savior, there's a gift that Christ gave to us, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, and the gift that He can be the King and we can be His kingdom. And if I'm talking to you this morning, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship, and the rest of you pray. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, you've never really given yourself to the Lord. And you want to invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you just whisper that prayer along with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear